From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. The Olympic curling competition began this week in Sochi, Russia. 16 years ago, a Western Wisconsin man was the vice skip on the U.S. Olympic team in Nagano, Japan, but they unfortunately lost the bronze medal match. Mike Poplinski grew up near Galesville and started curling at the Centerville Curling Club. Wisconsin Public Radio's John Davis caught up with Poplinski, who's now an elementary school teacher in Eau Claire, and asked him how he got a start in curling in 1984.
Centerville, La Crosse, and Galesville all at that time had curling facilities, which is rare to have three that close by. And I started with a youth program. I saw a sign-up sheet at my elementary school when I was 10 years old and decided to play, take the school bus out to the Centerville Curling Club and play after school for about an hour once a week.
And then it's just a matter, I assume, of honing your skills over a number of years until you get to this level of becoming world class.
Yeah, it was a long journey. We had some great coaches along the way, and you know, especially with a junior program like Centerville had, there was just very caring people that wanted to share their love for a game and teach young kids how to play. And you know, I played there for all my high through until I graduated, and then I played in lacrosse for my college time as I graduated from Viterbo. So I was able to play with people that were teaching me the game around the area, and just fell in love with competition and competing at a high level.
When did you know that you were destined to compete at a world level, I guess?
You know, it's kind of funny. At the age of 12, we played in our first state competition of juniors, and the junior ages can be anywhere from 12 to 21 at that time. And we were 12-year-olds playing against other teams around the state that were much older. And the fact that we even could compete with them, you know, be on the same sheet of ice was made me think, maybe someday I can be like that. And, you know, I think by the time we were 17, we were finally starting to win some of these statewide competitions and playing in national events. And then we got to the national stage, and Wisconsin is one of the top curling states just because there's so many curling clubs in Wisconsin and Minnesota as compared to other states, that on the national stage we were immediately a top four team. So once we could win in Wisconsin, I realized, man, I'm close to the top level of my age. And from there, I really started to put extra time into getting better.
And I assume you had folks who encouraged you along the way and said, you know, you can be, you know, elite among curling competitors?
Absolutely. You know, and some of, you know, a lot of coaches of curling are also players of curling. And when you get to, you know, you can play against them and learn from them all the time, it just made it so much easier. And, you know, teammates and friends. And one thing about curling that's different from other sports is that it's really a friendly competition. And when you get people that you're beating and they're congratulating you and pushing you to excel and to move forward, it's a little different than other sports when people don't really like losing. And I felt that the curling community just really embraced good young teams, and my team was one of those at that point.
So how long were you on this, you know, stage, so to speak, of being one of the best in America and one of the best in the world?
You know, being a national level competitor probably for about 7 years, really elite national level competitor probably for three. And I really wish I would have spent more time in that. But my family and my occupation started to take over and became first in my mind. And curling is different than other sports. Like I see skaters and other sports where they get one shot at it. And really curling, you can go multiple times to the Olympics. I have a friend that's on the ladies team right now that'll be in her fourth Olympics, and she was there in 98 when I was, and has been able to make a lot of our Olympic teams in the past years. So there's a long range in the sport of curling, but personally for myself, I was in that that elite level for a shorter time than most.
What is involved in that? I mean, when you are at that elite level, do you have to devote your life to curling and training you know, and staying in peak physical condition?
All of those things. And I think one of the major parts of that is your time and your availability. And for me, I took an occupation that I don't have a lot of that time in the winter. And that's why I fell off that level a little sooner than others. simply because I didn't have the time to put into it. But people that have stayed at that elite level for a long time have jobs that allow for it, and they do. They commit a lot of time to being in peak physical condition and mentally prepared, and they travel a lot to find high levels of competition, because you know, just don't see that locally. You see a few teams that are recreational, but there are more elite teams you have to travel in to get that competition.
I don't know if it's because of late night talk shows or, you know, I'm not quite sure why curling has kind of been, it's never seen as, you know, you are in peak physical condition, you know, it's not seen as a real sport where you have to be in that peak physical condition, but you really do, don't you?
Yeah, you know, I liken it to golf. I think, you know, you look at golfers and you go from the physical specimen of Tiger Woods to what John Daly looked like, and you know, I'm trying to think of other golfers' names that were like that were able to play at a high level and not be in peak physical condition. And curling's that way. I mean, a number of our athletes don't care a whole lot about the physicalness of the sport, but you do have an edge. I mean, the more physically fit you are, you have a better edge. And you know, my team was certainly not like that back in '98. But I would say this year's team that's representing the guys is much closer to that physical elite level. And the teams that come from Canada that do very well, most of them are physically at a better stage than their competitors.
So if you don't always have to be at peak physical condition, what separates you or what makes you better than the next curling team you're taking on?
I think mental capacity. Mental toughness, the ability to strategize and execute your shot. You know, again, unlike a physical sport like tennis or basketball, where you're running the whole time and playing at that high level, curling has its physical moments, and then you get a break, and then you get your physical moments, and you have another break. And I think the huge separation at the highest of levels is mental capacity and just the ability to work and do exactly, execute the shot exactly like you're intending to. Think of maybe like a rifle shooter or somebody, some of the archery things that you see in the Summer Olympics. They're not always in the best physical condition, but they can train their heart, and they can train their heartbeats, and they can train different things. And I think curlers are able to do that, where they have the mental capacity to withstand whatever comes at them, and are prepared to make that next shot.
So what are your recollections of your Olympic experience? You were in the games in Nagano, correct?
That is correct.
In 1998?
Yeah. You know, my memories are very, very vivid. It's almost eerie how much I can remember from the competition and the Olympic atmosphere. The games themselves, I don't remember a lot because you're just deep into that competition. But probably my favorite memory of the Olympics was the opening ceremonies, where you're surrounded by the best athletes in the world, and I look at myself as this, you know, this player from Wisconsin that's curling that wanted to dream about the Olympics. But when you're surrounded by world class athletes, it's very humbling. And that was the first thing that always comes to my mind when I think about the Olympics. And then the second goes right along with that, is entering the Olympic Stadium, marching with your USA on your back and going around that stadium. I tell people, I don't know if my feet ever touched the ground. It was just almost an out-of-body experience, where you're so proud of your accomplishments and so so on that world stage. It was a moment that I'll never forget.
Did you have time to enjoy some of the other sports, or was it all really about the curling?
Lucky for me, our competition was, you know, the Olympics last, I think, 15 or 16 days, and our competition was immediate. So we were done with about six or seven days left in the Olympics after we lost in our we lost in the medal round. We lost in a bronze medal game. And after that, I believe there were 6 days left in the games. And I was able to stay back on Olympic Village, get to see athletes. I could go to other events that I wanted to go to, tour Japan some. And watching the other athletes compete at that ultimate level was very, very thrilling. the memory that I have from that was the U.S.-Canada women's hockey gold medal game, where I had pretty good seats and I didn't know a whole lot about hockey, but just the raw emotion that was displayed by those players, it was phenomenal. It was exactly what you'd think of when you think of the Olympics. And I remember Karen Bai, I believe is her name, and she's from a Wisconsin athlete from the River Falls area, and afterwards being draped with the flag and skating around, and just the look in her eyes of accomplishment. And it's really, that's the Olympic movement, right? That's exactly what the Olympics are all about.
Do you have advice for others who are going through this now?
Yeah, you know, I talked to some athletes, and I know the curlers, but, you know, they're hearing lots of great things from their sport coaches, from their coaches that are helping them with dealing with the media, to coaches that are helping them deal with just mental things. And I think my advice to the Olympic athletes is enjoy every moment. You're there for a reason. Compete like you've competed to earn that spot, and the chips will fall where they fall. And the U.S. Olympic Committee and the sponsors for the United States Olympic Committee do such a great job of getting our athletes the best training possible that you just kind of follow the advice of the people around you. You surround yourself with comfort. If you're surrounded by people who are making it really tough on you, then you're probably not going to perform at your highest level. But elite athletes will tell you at any level, if you're going to compete at that highest stage, you have to be in the moment. And I think if you can appreciate the moment and just enjoy every bit of it, you'll have your dream is certainly accomplished.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio La Crosse. I'm talking to former Olympic curler Mike Poplinski. The Galesville native was on the U.S. Olympic curling team in 1998 in Nagano, Japan, that finished in fourth place. Poplinski began curling as a fourth grader in 1984 at the Centerville Curling Club. I mentioned you finished in fourth place. How do you view what you accomplished to get to this level? And I know that a lot more people associated with the Olympics in history have been like you. You know, you've been a competitor, but you haven't won all the medals, and you don't have the fame of people like an Eric Heiden or Michael Phelps, who've won multiple medals. But how do you view what you've accomplished?
My life has moved on to a different stage, and being a father and a husband and a teacher and a coach are way more on the forefront of my mind now. And when the Olympics come around, I do think back to those moments. And I think anybody on my team would tell you we'd like to have a crack at that medal round again. You always want to think that you're at the highest level, and the highest level means you're the best. And we fell a little short of that. And you know, being at the Olympic Games is truly an enormous accomplishment. But when people ask me about how'd you finish, it's really hard to say fourth, because not only personally for my teammates and their families, but also for our country. One thing I remember looking at is the amount of medals the U.S. was winning that year, and to maybe be a part of history and set a new medal count had we medaled. So I think competitors at that ultimate level, they simply want to find a way to show that they're the best. And we came up a little short, and I don't think on it very much, but I do. When people ask, I get to that point where I just wish we had a few shots back, or the rock in my hand, and I wish I was able to make one of those shots that just didn't quite go our way. And but you're right, curling and in sports in the Winter Olympics, where you only get one crack at it every 4 years, it is hard to be an elite famed athlete like the Heidens and the Phelps and those people that you remember. And but they're at a different level, and those people certainly work so hard to deserve what they're accomplishing as well.
That doesn't take away anything that you've accomplished. So is that the way you see it?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it would be like having Joe Thomas, the offensive lineman that's playing for the Cleveland Browns, come in and ask him if, just because he's an offensive lineman and he hasn't been at the Peyton Mannings of the world, I just don't think that it just diminishes from the accomplishment of his NFL performance. So I like to think of it as, you know, everybody's a little different in where they reach their level.
So when you think back on it, or you talk to your teammates, what would you have done differently in that bronze medal game?
you know, I was very young at the time, and my team was very experienced. And the only thing I've ever thought that we could have done differently is, you know, to talk to my skip, the other members of my team who had a few skeletons in the closet of losing on the world stage, not at an Olympics, but at a world championships, and always taking, you know, third, fourth, fifth, and not quite reaching that ultimate level. And I think there was a lot of pressure on them to be first. And once we lost that semifinal game, I don't think we came out with the same amount of energy, the same amount of teamwork and passion that we had throughout the whole week to go and get the bronze medal. And I think that's a natural emotion. I think if I was the age I am now, or even a few years more seasoned veteran, I could have talked to my teammates about, hey, that one's done. Here's our chance to still bring a medal home and regroup a little bit more. But the way the format was set that year, with once we lost in the semifinals, to have to come back, I think it was like 16 hours later, and try to play in a bronze medal game, we just didn't quite have our minds in the right place. So I think that would be my one take back. If I had a chance to do something a little bit differently, I'd have done it that way.
Who medaled that year? What countries?
I believe Switzerland was the gold medal winner. Canada took silver, and then the bronze was won by Norway, who beat us.
And have they been the traditional curling powers?
Canada always.
Right.
Canada is always a curling power, and from there it's a host of other countries. Once in a while, the United States, but Scotland is often in there, Switzerland, Norway, you know, and then, like I said, it really rotates. But Canada is usually one of the top two, and then a few other countries find really high-level teams that are competing.
I assume you still follow the sport at the world-class level?
Some. Every 4 years, more often than every year, but I do know some of the top teams and the top names.
Do you have a scouting report for curling this year and
what people can
look for?
I would say watch every game that Canada plays. They are special, and how they play the game is really unique. And I watched the Canadian championships to get to the Olympics, and I believe they had eight teams in it. And I made a comment to a friend that I think any of those eight teams could have went and won the gold medal. And now and the team that's there might not win the gold medal, but I think any of them would have been a favorite going in. I would look for Scotland. I believe they play under Great Britain in the Olympics, but the Scottish team is very talented as well.
Are you still active in curling today?
I am. I play every Wednesday night at the Eau Claire Curling Club, and we have a league up here with 16 teams, and many of the guys are very very new to the sport, and they've learned another lifelong passion. They come out and love it every Wednesday night, and but it's a very social event, not at all at a competitive level. And then a couple times a year, I'll take some friends out of town and play weekend tournaments, almost like a weekend softball tournament or darts tournament or whatever else. And so I take a bunch of friends, and we try to go a couple times a year to see how we can do on a little more of a competitive stage.
Are you involved in teaching at all?
About once or twice a year, I'll get asked to come out with a youth group. And then I, especially during the Olympics, I get asked to talk often with adults that are starting to play. One of my favorite things to do right now is to teach adults another sport that they can come out and do once a week and really find a joy for. And curling is such an enjoyable sport, and the fact that you do help your teammates out and you help your opponents out, and you talk to the person next to you, and you get to meet people in such a social level. And I just love that part of it, and I love what it brings to the people that are there.
What are you doing now? You said you kind of gave up curling for your family and your career, and I knew you went to school at Viterbo,
right?
And you're teaching in Eau Claire, but bring people up to date on what you're doing with your life now.
Sure. I'm teaching fourth grade students at a school in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. I've been here for about 15 years, and put a smile on my face every time I come to work, because there's nothing like the joy of watching students learn and getting to work with young people. So love doing that. Very active in athletics as well, as I've coached my daughter with some sports, and I'm a member of the Eau Claire North High School baseball staff. So I keep myself active in those ways, and I find joy in doing anything sports related. So I like that, and I you know, just enjoy being around athletics. My wife is a high school basketball coach, so we get to talk about how to help kids improve their skill level, but also to be great people once they're done on with their competitive days.
Is there anything else you'd like to add, Mike?
During my Olympic run in 1998, I was a first-year teacher, I mentioned, in the school district of Alma, Wisconsin. I just, when I get a chance, I like to thank them for what they did. They were just so receptive to having their teacher going off to a world event like this and treated me with class and fundraised for my wife to be able to go. And haven't been there for a long time, but just really appreciate what that school district did for me.
Mike Poplinski was a member of the 1998 U.S. Olympic curling team that finished in fourth place in Nagano, Japan. Poplinski grew up in the Galesville area and learned how to curl at the Centerville Curling Club. He studied at Viterbo University and now teaches elementary school in Eau Claire. He shared his Olympic experience story with Wisconsin Public Radio's John Davis. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCullum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior producer, John Davis. To hear archives of this and other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find extended interviews and photos. And if you'd like to comment on our program, or if you have a suggestion for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. You can also find Newsmakers on Facebook, updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more. Like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.